It's time for the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health, a radio show where all viewpoints are respected. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Ooh, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Brandon Groover News Hour. This has been a really, really busy week. What's up, AJ? I see you in the cut. Wake up.
Oh, man, I'm here. I thought you were out of breath there for a second.
Yeah, I was trying to keep a straight face. I mean, there's so much happening in the news.
You couldn't keep up with it. You'd have to be doing clips here right up to this time. You know, you've got that sentence that just was handed down.
Yep.
And then that condo.
Awful.
A terrible failure. And if you saw the video, 1 second it was there, a second later it just about wasn't it. That. I mean, they couldn't have actually done a demolition any cleaner than that.
Right, right.
I mean, it all came down in one area, but people sleeping in those
at 2 a.m.
53 or so units.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's not good.
Yeah, bad stuff. And then and I didn't know that buildings only get inspected once every 40 years.
Well, so, that was the deal there. Apparently, it passed its initial inspection, and according to what was... You know, and that was a relatively modern building. It was 1981.
Right.
And, well, there's a lot of speculation. I've been looking at it all day and from yesterday till today.
Mm-hmm.
And there's because of the climate change and the ocean starting to rise.
Right.
You know, Florida, it partly comes down to the fact that we human beings build buildings where we shouldn't.
Right, right.
Everybody wants to be on the ocean. It's worth millions of dollars, but it's really not the proper place. Look, even in St. Johns County, how many people a couple of years ago lost their homes to the ocean?
Yep, yep.
I mean, those dunes only protect so much.
Yep, and I also think, you know, as well, it could have been a sinkhole could have opened up under there.
Well, the problem is, see, that the salt water comes down, and it was built in a reclaimed area there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Florida's basically on limestone.
Right.
And so it's kind of porous.
Mm-hmm.
And there's sometimes the seawater could come in under that.
Right, right.
And then
loosen it up.
Right. So you got, just how many tons, you know, in the building sheared clean. I mean, the other part of the building still standing.
Yeah, that was
so,
really
disturbing. The thing is, the building was pretty secure, but something underneath that building gave way.
Yeah, and that's what they're saying is it came from below as opposed to something, the pressure coming from top.
Right. It looked like it been hit by a missile, but that wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's it looks like it just reached that point after 40 years standing.
But you all know something, too, and I'm not trying to cause pandemonium, but, you know, the buildings downtown Jacksonville are built on a pier. That's not natural ground. That's reclaimed on piers. Those towers kind of lean a little bit. If you look at
now.
Yep.
Hey, well, we can have, you know, since they can't decide how they want to treat the tourists here, maybe eventually we'll have the Leaning Tower of
BBT.
I mean, it might be the Leaning Tower of whatever the Independent Life Building used to be.
What if we built another bridge by having a building come down?
We need another bridge. We need one between the Buckman and the Fuller Warren.
Right, right.
Or a tunnel, one or the other.
Yeah, we're laughing about this.
That won't be in my lifetime, though.
Right, right. And so my condolences to, I'm sorry.
That's the main thing.
It's all right.
Hello,
Doug. Sorry about, I didn't mean to intrude on. You're the real co-host, and I'm just the operator that pushes the button.
You're teaching me what to say.
So what's up, Doug?
Hey, I'm here, and I'm happy, and life is good. Stressed.
All right. So condolences once again to everybody who was affected. If you know anybody, you know, loss of family
Deepest
members.
Condolences.
That was very disturbing to the folks down in Surfside, Florida. Also, just to be fair and balanced, because, you know, on this show, we called very loudly for some type of police reform. And I always try to tell folks that you can be on both sides of an issue. You can stand for police reform and not be anti-police, right? And the reason I bring this up, I kept forgetting each week. Did you all see on June 4th that police officer that was savagely attacked over in Riverside? Mm-mm. Did you all see that?
No, tell me about it.
I missed that.
Okay, so basically, the police officer, there was some type of distress call over on Riverside. And normally the police wait for backup. Well, I guess the officer thought he had to kind of go in there, and he was ambushed. You know, it was on the news. It went on for about like a good, 10 minutes. You know, it was, to me, it was brutal, savage. So, you know.
Well, especially if it was an ambush.
Right, yeah, they set him up. So
premeditated.
Right, so my thing is, and I hope they bring him to justice, but my thing is if you're going to be fair and balanced, be fair and balanced. You know, you can't only, call out violence when it happens to civilians. You have to also call out civilians when they brutalize law enforcement. Like I said, I'm not anti-police. I'm just anti-wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, and nobody's perfect.
Right.
I mean, it goes in anything you can think about
right.
that involves people.
Right.
There's going to be good and bad.
Absolutely.
And that's just the way it goes. So far, we've got great technology in the last 100, 200 years. A lot of things have changed. Some of them we're going to have to modify into the future because we're affecting our planet, maybe not necessarily in a great way. But we'll figure that out, hopefully, before it's too late.
Right.
Let's hope so.
Right. Amen to that. I just, wanted to make sure, we can't pull punches. Like I said, I saw some other YouTube clips, and I'm not going to take the entire show, to talk about this. But I was watching in New York, they were shooting the police with water guns, throwing buckets of water on them. Mm. Come on, people. That is not okay. So,
not cool.
So if you wear blue, we stand with you. Let's try to get through this mess together. Okay, opening act. We will discuss the shameful coverage of the Orange Crush Festival. I started not to say anything about this, but I was watching First Coast News, and they did a segment saying, Jacksonville has a long way to go. Pretty much saying that the city's response to the Orange Crush Festival was heavy-handed. And I started to talk about this on last week. We gave out of time. I think the media coverage of the Orange Crush Festival was overhanded. Like I said, we just talked about, and I always try to.
And you think that was because they were going to predict that it was going to be a problem?
The media, all the media coverage was showing that, you had businesses at Jacksonville Beach shutting down. You had the Sheriff's Office of Jacksonville sending inmates to other facilities to make room to do like arrests. And this is not standard protocol for Florida, Georgia. We just had the RNC convention that was about to come here. Mm-hmm. There was no protocol, to do this for that. So, like I said, I watched the media.
Not the most welcoming situation.
Right, mm-hmm. right. But I saw the media coverage of the event. And like I said, I always try to direct the conversation away from race. And I try to focus on solutions because I think people on the Democratic side will use the race card at times, as a political football for gain. But I sat here and I watched the whole situation play out. And then the media, was showing, they're going to have trash and litter all over the city. They're going to disturb, the turtles.
Wasn't positive,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah. So then you had a backlash from the business community where businesses said, we're too busy. We're going to close. So,
I thought they were in business for business.
Right, right, mm-hmm. right, right. So
that's a funny thought, isn't it?
Right. So, like I said, last weekend, America was celebrating Juneteenth, which was supposed to reflect on the progress this country has made, as far as ending slavery. Jacksonville was at the center of a different controversy. So, like I said, I watched with disgust as local bars and restaurants shut down under the false pretense of not having enough manpower to avoid serving vast number of largely black tourists. On the other side of the commercial, we're going to run the footage and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, we got some interesting stuff here.
Yeah, because my thing is this. The media, don't throw the rock and hide your hand. They were hoping that it would have been terror and hoopla. And it didn't pan out, so they wanted to point the finger as if the citizens of Jacksonville were racist. No, the media coverage of that event was racist.
Well, we got a ways to go, and the Brandon Groover News Hour is going to get you more into this here in just a couple seconds. Number to call is 904-831-0600, right, Brandon?
Yes, we will go where no man has gone before.
Ooh. Frito-Lay has been a proud part of the Florida community for over 60 years. Their team produces some of America's favorite snacks, including Lay's potato chips, Doritos, and Cheetos. Today, the local Frito-Lay job site provides jobs for approximately 375 full-time associates. And the company is looking to grow the team and is hiring right now for a variety of positions. Frito-Lay's benefits include a retirement plan, 401k, health care, paid vacation, and more. Pay ranges from $17.62 to $33 per hour with room for advancement. Join the team at FritoLayEmployment.com. That's FritoLayEmployment.com. PepsiCo and its Frito-Lay division are an equal opportunity employer. Female, minority, disability, protected veteran, sexual orientation, gender identity.
Let's get back to the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Okay, so just to recap, and we really value our partnership with Pepsi, by the way. Like I said, we're going to discuss the shameful coverage of the Orange Crush Festival by Jacksonville's media, as America designated last weekend as a time to reflect upon the progress of ending slavery, a.k.a. Juneteenth. Jacksonville was the center of a different controversy. I watched with disgust as local bars and restaurants shut down under the false pretense of not having enough manpower to avoid serving the vast number of largely black tourists. Let's see if they have manpower 4th of July weekend to stay open. Anyways, I will say that the organizer could have done a better job coordinating with the city. However, beyond that, the coverage of trash on the beach and young people dancing is no different than the scenes of spring break all across the country. Now, before we start talking about excuses, let's remember what's happening on the other side of the political spectrum. For weeks, we called for a breakup of big tech due to the high-tech lynching of President Trump following the events of January 6th. The justification to ban Trump from social media and the refusal to accommodate the attendees of the Orange Crush Festival are the same. Safety. Benjamin Franklin warned, "He who would trade freedom for security deserves neither. Regardless of how we spend this, it is wrong." Under the guise of progress, it seems like we're making some steps backwards. Political parties in the name of power and human rights are threatening our democracy in more ways than one. The Democrats who are pushing voter protection laws are proposing to disenfranchise the same black voters. How? By eliminating gerrymandered districts. FYI, before the creation of communities of interest, or what you call gerrymandered districts, Congresswoman Corrine Brown was the first black member of Congress from Florida in 129 years. This is in the so-called border protection bill that Democrats are proposing. The same was true for Jim Clyburn from South Carolina. There were no black representatives in the House from the South prior to what is called gerrymandered, which would be removed by this voting bill. And I'm trying to show the connections that in the name of progress, we seem to be walking backwards. In 2021, Jacksonville Beach businesses' refusal to open to avoid a certain type of clientele, not a good look, along with JSO's decision to move prisoners to make room for mass arrests. I don't recall hearing this proposal during the Super Bowl or the RNC convention committee, or by the RNC convention host committee. I'm not the one for rowdy crowds. That's why I've never been to Mardi Gras. I don't do Florida Georgia tailgate events. However, I've never supported blocking an event from coming here or praised companies who refuse to seat people. That's kind of too Jim Crow for my liking. The second segment, we will discuss the continued need to preserve the filibuster. This is not something Democrats want to hear, but who cares? However, this show is not this is a no-holds-bar show. Democratic critics point out that the filibuster was used to deny civil rights laws. My answer is, so did also money also prolong slavery, but no one is saying let's ban money, right? Any tool can be abused. The United States selected a republic form of government because the founders based it upon the Roman system because Rome lasted 1,400 years. Democracies do not have a long track record. They are schizophrenic, and they are based on public sentiment, which can be manipulated. The filibuster ensures that minorities have rights and also promotes the stability. The reason Social Security, Medicare, civil rights laws have become programs that define America is the fact that under the present system, they cannot be abolished. Democrats should think long and hard before tinkering with the filibuster, because when Republicans take back office, they would be able to strike down affirmative action, pass draconian abortion restriction, privatize Social Security, and every other policy that keeps the left up at night. So my thing is, you know, just be careful what you wish for, because sometimes you might get it. I remember when it used to require 60 votes to make changes to the appeal courts. Harry Reid and the Democrats changed that. The Republicans came back, and now you have a Supreme Court that's 6-3 in the Republicans' favor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some things you shouldn't really mess with. But, AJ, let's run the clip on the Orange Crush. I'm not going to stay on that too long. I think it's self-evident. And then we'll move to the other, Joe Manchin clip.
Many people from out of town are gathering at Jacksonville Beach for the Orange Crush Festival, and local law enforcement are ramping up protocols just in case. News for Jax reporter Bree Isom joins us live. Bree, what are you seeing?
A lot of people here at Jacksonville Beach today, and like you said, police officers are out here patrolling to make sure everyone is at the beach safely. You can see a big crowd of people behind me all here for that Orange Crush Festival. Now, police were also patrolling the streets of Jacksonville Beach, and so far they say everyone's been safe. A lot of people excited to listen to music on the beach and have a good time. People came from as far as South Carolina and Georgia to participate in this festival. The organizer of Orange Crush expects 20,000 people to be in Jacksonville this weekend for the festival.
So far, it seems safe and everything, so I'm just here to have a good time.
Really just good vibes, honestly. No chaos, no craziness, you know, good music.
The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office confirmed Tuesday that as a precautionary measure ahead of Orange Crush, the department has requested help from surrounding counties for the temporary housing of inmates. In 2019 in Tybee Island, according to Jacksonville Beach Police Chief Gene Paul Smith, there were 80 arrests made during the weekend at this festival. Ben Frazier, the president of Northside Coalition, says he and some members of the organization are out here making sure JSO patrols ethically.
We think that people here should be treated fairly and impartially. What we're going to do is continue to walk around and talk to people and welcome them here to our city.
Now, according to the Orange Crush schedule, this beach day is scheduled to wrap up soon. There's an after party at 10 to 3 a.m. at Onyx, and we'll be there reporting as well. I'm live in Jacksonville Beach. Bree Isom, Channel 4, the local station.
Okay, so like I said, we're not going to cover that long. I'm not one that likes negativity, but I also hate hypocrisy. Because like I said, a local news station here wrote an opinion piece, Orange Crush proves Jacksonville still has work to do. My answer is speak for yourself. The news media has work to do. Because like I said, it was almost like if you were looking at the coverage, it was almost like a hurricane was coming. You know, the way the media was covering it, you know, like I said, you had dozens of local businesses to close their doors. You know, like I said, this kind of made me kind of uncomfortable because it kind of reminds me of stuff that I thought we had kind of moved away from. You know, we had civil rights movements, sit-ins in the 60s and 50s and 60s because people were trying to be served. And they were being denied service based on race. So that kind of reared its ugly head up.
On a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. Brandon, where would you put racism in Jacksonville? And and if the scale is 10, everybody is kumbaya, everybody's just fine with each other. 1 meaning it's a civil war.
I think... I don't think as far as the people of the city, mm-hmm. I haven't really ran into any like overt racism with some, you know, I haven't really, to me, mm-hmm. you know, but I, you know, I don't want to say that it doesn't exist, you know, but, you know, that I just don't see the vibe. And, but if, but I also saw, like, my whole view on race relations is totally different than what you see in mainstream media. You know, everybody likes to say that the South is racist, right? But if you look at the North has more segregation than the South. See, the liberals love to talk about the virtues of integration and living together, but try to build a public housing project in affluent areas in New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles. You will see these people come out in droves. And, you know, so I really don't, I'm not going to say it doesn't. I would say probably eight, seven or eight. You know, like I said, I don't see, like, if you want to look at racism, just put in one of those old movie clips. You know, like, people were actually hanging people from trees. You know, we talked about the Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, when you had like an entire community, you know, ravaged. That's the kind of racism, you know, that keeps me up at night. But if you look at the causes of lynchings, you look at the causes of the Tulsa, Oklahoma massacre, all of that was media driven. It was all caused by false media reports. Like in Tulsa, an entire riot started because they put in the Tulsa newspaper that a black man had sexually assaulted a white woman in the elevator. You know, that didn't happen. You know, in Wilmington, North Carolina, the same thing happened there. So, you know, like, people like to wonder, you know, how could the people back in those days, you know, be so angry and so barbaric? It was because of the news media. Like, if you look at race relations, you know, in the United States, after, you know, prior to the Civil War, you know, slavery was wrong. It was wrong. We know it was wrong, right? But the hatred was not there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was wrong. It was exploitation. But the demonization of African Americans was not there. But when you move to the post Reconstruction period from the 1870s towards civil rights, You had tens of thousands of Klansmen marching down Washington, D.C. The KKK had over 10 million members. President Woodrow Wilson showed the most racist movie of all time, Birth of a Nation, in the White House. So, you know, there's a big connection that people don't want to connect between, you know, Hollywood and racism. Like, if you look at a lot of the hatred in the country towards African Americans at the time, it was backed up by images that was put out in the media. You know, like I said, the movie Birth of a Nation, you know, show black men as ravaged, you know, rapists, and, you know, all this stereotypical, you know, racism was done. It was done in hand with the movie industry. So, you know, I don't really care about people, you know, marching with Confederate flags, but because that's not effective. What's effective is when you put that on television and, you know, you start demonizing people on television, you know, that, and then for the same media organization to criticize the city of Jacksonville, you know, I just thought that was a bit much, you know, when they were the ones who caused the fire.
I'm hearing you say that it's more institutionalized, whether it's the media, whether it's the government, or whether it's certain organizations. They gin up.
People are fine. You know, that's just like I said, this is something that's to be looked at. The way the new racism is going to be towards Trump supporters, because they are conflating Trump supporter with Klansmen. You know, so we can finish on the other side of the break. You know, but I see the switch.
I see it too. Yeah. Well said.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, guys, hang on. The Brandon Groover News Hour continues here in just a couple minutes. We've got Doug Wilder along with Brandon here this afternoon. And if you'd like to be a part of the program, have any questions, comments, 904-831-0600. You're listening to Talk Radio, WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. In Minneapolis, former officer Derek Chauvin sentenced to 22 and a half years in prison, that for the murder last year of George Floyd. Officials do say with good behavior he could be paroled after serving two-thirds of that sentence, or about 15 years. In Florida, still some 159 people unaccounted for in a collapse of that condo. 130 firefighters still working at the site around the clock. Four people now confirmed dead. Republican senators are described as blindsided and livid over President Biden's refusal to sign a bipartisan infrastructure deal unless he gets passage of his broader priorities. White House says the lawmaker shouldn't have been surprised given that Biden has publicly discussed his strategy. This is SRN News.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good day, I'm Patrick Johnson. Search and rescue efforts continue after the tragic partial collapse of a condo building in South Florida. Governor DeSantis says the work at the site ongoing.
The good news was more people have been accounted for. The bad news was there's more people now that have been unaccounted for, and I know they've been really diligently working through to just try to identify anybody that's affiliated with that condo complex.
Police in Gainesville are looking for two shooters after five kids were shot late Thursday night at an American Legion party for teenagers. Apparently, two people started shooting at one another, and the kids were hit by the gunfire. The state attorney's office releasing a list of witnesses and evidence collected in the investigation into 14-year-old Aiden Fucci, who's accused of killing St. Johns County 13-year-old Tristan Bailey in May. Tristan, who attended Patriot Oaks Academy, reported missing on Mother's Day. She was found dead later that day. Fucci has entered a plea of not guilty in Tristan's murder. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
There's some delays because of a multi-vehicle crash on the East Beltway 295 northbound between UNF and the Beach Boulevard exits. Also, there's another crash on the West Beltway 295 northbound at the ramp from Lem Turner Road. And there's another multi-vehicle crash on the West Beltway 295 northbound at the ramp from US 17 Roosevelt Boulevard. Partly cloudy tonight, expect a low 72. Saturday will start the weekend partly sunny and breezy with a high 87.
Satisfy your comfort food desires at Hangar Bay Cafe, 2294 Mayport Road. From Florida's best fried chicken to ramen and more, Hangar Bay Cafe is open 7 days a week. Dine in or order online at hangarbaycafe.com for pickup or DoorDash delivery. Support your local veteran-owned restaurant through these challenging times. You're always welcome at Hangar Bay Cafe, 2294 Mayport Road. For pickup and DoorDash delivery, visit hangarbaycafe.com.
President Biden has declared war on the small business owners of America. He's pushed for a massive tax increase, and his $2 trillion infrastructure plan is a $2 trillion tax hike on American employers. Job Creators Network works hard to fight these attacks, and they're looking for a few good men and women to join their Small Business Advocacy and Advisor Program. They will prepare you to be a leader for small businesses in your community, your state, and the country you love. If you want to join the fight, go to joinjcn.com now. That's joinjcn. They need you. America needs you.
Friday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show will break down the proposed infrastructure bill and what the details are as all of those start to roll out.
Plus, we also have new reporting on some possible side effects of vaccines that may affect people under 18, even thinking about whether they should get in line. We'll get into that and more coming up 12 to 3, coast to coast on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
On AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB. Let's get back to the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Okay, so, Doug, you have anything before I go to the caller?
No, I think that's great. I think that answers my questions on where you are and on the racism concept.
I believe, like Dr. King did, that the moral arc, you know, goes towards progress. Like if we could do a whole show on this, but you know, back in 1776, it was not universally accepted that all men were created equal until the United States put it on paper in the American Declaration of Independence. And then, you know, we moved from you know, with the country was the British Empire had slavery. You know, that was the American colonists had slavery prior to the War of Independence, right? But what we've tried to do, we've tried to, you know, hold ourselves to those words, to those documents. And it's like the Bible. You know, you're not perfect, but you try to build your life based on like the Christian ideology. Right. You know, you don't, you may break the Ten Commandments, you don't, but you're trying to break all 10 at once. You know, right. You know, I mean, you that like the, like you have like perfection is we should try to form a more perfect union. That's what we've been trying to do. You know, I know 10 years ago, regardless of how you feel about the George Floyd case, 10 years ago, I don't think we would have gotten the verdict we have now because the police department, his own coworkers said it was not cool what he did. Mm-hmm. You know, so you had police, normally the blue stick together, but you know, but we're moving more towards a more perfect union. So I'm not one of these people who want to say, oh, we're in the worst place that we've ever been. No, we're getting better. If you don't see progress, you had a black president, have a black vice president. I mean, if you can't see that we're making progress, you need to get your glasses checked. Regardless of how you voted, you know, back in 1950, black people couldn't run for president. We couldn't get elected. Mm-hmm. So that's just me. So we're making progress. Hello, Mayor. How you doing?
Hi. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
I'm enjoying your program. I just wanted to say that something that really upsets me every day is how the news media focuses so much on, you know, crime and pointing in place and... You got
a lot of feedback, Mary.
Yeah, Mary, do you have any, there's a lot of noise in the background. Is there any way to calm that down?
Okay, I'm trying. I'm going to have to pull over. I'm driving in the rain. Can you hear me okay?
Okay, yeah,
now?
We hear you now. Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm just, you know, somebody's out there trying to divide the races and tear apart everything that, you know, has come together.
Yep.
We have still have healing to do, but... It just upsets me. You turn on the news every night and somebody's hurt somebody in the black community. It was a white person or a policeman. And,
yep.
You know, I mean, there's drugs out there and, you know, things like that. That's true. There's no question about that. But, you know, using that to divide everybody, to me, is beyond human. I just hate it. It's like I have so many black friends and, you know, sometimes people look at you like... You know, somebody in the black community looks at you because you're white, and you think, oh, you must hate me because you're white. And, you know, it's so untrue.
You know?
There are people out there that are racist, that's for sure.
Right.
But we've all healed so much, and I just hate it that it's doing this to our communities. And, you know, drugs is the evil thing out there. Talking about the... you know, the Orange Crush Festival, my daughter moved down from Virginia Beach, and she said that they had festivals up there, and every time there was a, you know, holiday, all these gangs would come in, and there'd be shootings, and so that's one reason the stores closed down, you know, but it wasn't the black community, it was the gangs that were doing it, and so it gave it a bad reputation, and I think Chabi Island was... You know, the drug culture was doing it. It wasn't the average person in the black community, and it just paints a bad picture. And I think the, you know, the stores probably were maybe told, you know, that this might happen, so they were leery about ruining their business. And so, but it, you know, I was just nice to see that nothing really bad happened, you know.
Right.
Hopefully next year that'll, you know. It'll be better.
Right. But thank you. But thank you, Mary, for your call. We appreciate it. And I agree. You know that the media. See, the media is all about selling newspapers. So you know, and drama sells. But I just wish they would find other types of drama to you know find. Like in my opinion, like race is something that we shouldn't really play with. You know. So I just feel if you want to get your headlines, you know, find something else to get a headline about. You know. But you know, painting this picture. You know that the country is that we're at each other's throat. You know, I just don't buy that sentiment. I'm a black Democrat on a largely conservative show, and I haven't gotten any hate mail yet. Don't get any ideas, people. It ain't Halloween. Don't start it. But you know, I just don't buy it. I just think that like Adolf Hitler, you know, he didn't really have anything to run on, so he ran on race. So you know, and even in Georgia, back in you know back before civil rights, one of the Georgia politicians said he ran on two things, the N-word and Rose. And because he knew that race was so powerful, he could divide people and give them to vote against their own interests, you know, just by saying, you know, I feel this way about this group. So to me, that's like political laziness to be a one-trick pony. Like, if you go on and talk about race, you're boring. If you feel that the only problem we have in this country, you know, like I said, we had slavery for 400 years. So, of course, that had an effect. But what leaders should try to do, instead of pointing fingers, let's come with solutions to try to elevate the black community, you know, the poor white community in the Midwest, you know, Appalachian region, and let's try to pull people up together. Because I believe if you put forward an agenda that will tackle poverty, I don't think anybody would oppose an agenda that is centered around progress. But you can't, but don't have like socialist and you know, like socialist agendas and try to tuck it around, you know, a black movement. That's not, that dog ain't gonna hunt. So, you know, if, you know, I welcome the conversation. Like I said, I'm not one of these people who are going to sit here on the air, because I believe that there are concrete policies that we can point to that explains the issues that we have, and you know, in the country. And it's not in racism, in my opinion, is a too simplistic answer. You know, if we talk about, you know, how we, you know, export all of our jobs out of the country and send all of our jobs overseas, you know, with NAFTA and WTO, you know, we don't think that that's going to negatively affect people in the country. We have the same, and I always try to make the connections between the inner city issues in the black community and the issues that are in the Midwest. You know, do you know the number one, the group in this country with the highest death rate? White men above the age of 40, because of drug overdoses, suicides. You know, they have the highest mortality rate. So, go ahead, Doug. You was gonna say something.
Are you saying per person? In other words, mortality rate, not just the numbers.
Yeah, like per capita, like the highest death rate in the country is because, like I said, is meth, this opioid crisis. That thing is taking a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people and growing.
Yeah. So I don't buy it. That I just don't buy it. I don't buy it. I don't buy the, like I said, and the thing is, I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it. I don't buy that, you know, we're at each other. I think the media is instigating this because, like I said, you have politics. Like I said, even with the, if you look at the voting bill the Democrats are trying to push through, I've been telling a lot of my black friends, like, listen, you may want to read that legislation, because, you know, when somebody says, hey, let's get rid of gerrymandering, you know, that may sound good on paper. But in order to elect a member of Congress, you have to have 700,000 people in a House district. Jacksonville does not have 700,000 black people. So how you get Democratic districts like Corrine Brown, you know, Al Lawson, they draw the map to include the black areas of Jacksonville, Palatka, Eatonville, and those areas historically relate because the black settlement was forced to settle in the flood zone, because that's the only place that blacks could buy property. So when people like to say, oh, that district is gerrymandered, no, that is a community of interest. If you read Their Eyes Are Watching God, there is a lot of connections between Eatonville, Jacksonville, and those areas. And that's why you had that representation. But if we move forward with that voting bill that they're talking about, you're going to eliminate the ability to gerrymander, and it's going to kill your congressional black caucus. All in the name of progress.
Strange.
So what's the point of being able to vote if the people you want to vote for can't win?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Think outside the box. CNN is not going to report that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I've heard it said that if you're colorblind, then you are not, your eyes aren't open.
Right.
But what you're saying is maybe we could be looking at other aspects of
right.
life.
Absolutely, because what's happening, and we got a commercial break coming up. I see you, Marty. I'm coming to you. Let's pay some bills. Pepsi has an announcement. How great thou art, Pepsi.
Frito-Lay has been a proud part of the Florida community for over 60 years. Their team produces some of America's favorite snacks, including Lay's potato chips, Doritos, and Cheetos. Today, the local Frito-Lay job site provides jobs for approximately 375 full-time associates. And the company is looking to grow the team and is hiring right now for a variety of positions. Frito-Lay's benefits include a retirement plan, 401k, health care, paid vacation, and more. Pay ranges from $17.62 to $33 per hour with room for advancement. Join the team at FritoLayEmployment.com. That's FritoLayEmployment.com. PepsiCo and its Frito-Lay division are an equal opportunity employer. Female, minority, disability, protected veteran, sexual orientation, gender identity.
Let's get back to the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Okay, I'm going to say this, and Marty, I'm going to bring him in, but we have to move really quick because we are almost out of time. You know, it's okay to have your culture, to cherish your Black culture, to cherish your Anglo-Saxon roots, because all of those groups did contribute, your Irish roots, your Latino roots. But at the end of the day, you know, this country is not going to be able to survive if we continue to balkanize, if we continue to divide ourselves based on race. Because what happens eventually when you pull yourself into tribes, eventually you start breaking, your social fabric breaks down, and you end up with shooting wars. So this is what you want to avoid. And my message to people in the community as well, if you feel that because you are a minority, that you can, discriminate against folks because you're a minority, what happens when the white majority becomes a minority? Will it be okay, to have a whites-only party?
Well,
I'm just saying.
Culture is here. People are naturally drawn to what they're more familiar with, but America has blended.
Right.
It's always blended.
Right.
It's always done that.
Right.
And anybody that says that that there's a problem between whites and blacks, there is to some people, but there is not in the way it was. It's
right.
Better than it was.
Right.
It's better. And yet anybody that says it isn't is not facing reality.
Right. Like I said, Chauvin is going to prison for 20-something years.
Maybe 20 years ago he would have gone away with it.
2 years ago he would have got away with it.
Well, so things have already changed for the
right,
better.
Right, right.
Because that's not acceptable to do to a human being.
Right, right, right. So it's called progress. You put one foot in front of the other like a baby. You take steps, and you keep making steps, and before you know it, you're on the other side of the room. So, like I said, I'm not going to sit here and say that we're doing this to ourselves. Like I said, the Democratic Party, folks, I need you to go do your research. If the voting bill passes today, they will get rid of gerrymandered districts. That will kill communities of interest. It will stop the ability to have Black members of Congress unless you are in an area that has 700,000 Black people. And this is tucked in a bill that the Democrats are pushing, all in the name of progress. I can't make this stuff up. Prior to the 1990s, you didn't have a Black representative in Florida for 129 years. We did these gerrymandered districts, then you got Corrine Brown, Maxine Waters, all these, the Black members of Congress who served their communities. So all in the name of progress, this is a step backwards. But Marty, you can jump in. But Marty, I got to move quick. We got to talk about Joe Manchin.
What are you going to do? Are you going to give me a minute after I waited a week for your program?
Life isn't fair. Go ahead, Marty.
Something. What the law enforcement did in Jacksonville is what we call preemptive and proactive, all right? I want to, because it's like in 2017 when we had Hurricane, was it Irma or Matthew? Governor Scott called out the National Guard in the event that there was looting. There wasn't any looting. So for that, I have to give the sheriff of Jacksonville, JSO, I have to give him a plus. But let me just make a comparison. Every year, twice a year, in Daytona, they have Bike Week and Biketoberfest. And maybe Jacksonville wants to do what Daytona does. Daytona has a smaller population and smaller police department than Jacksonville. And I found this out by looking on the computer that when they have events, they have part-time cops that they hire. When I go to Bike Week, and the last one I was at Bike Week was last September, they had like a million cops in the street. And you know what? Nobody feels threatened. And I don't know if there being any trouble.
But Marty, I got to move fast. But I don't have a problem with JSO deploying the entire department and bringing in law enforcement. That's not my problem. I don't mind them being proactive when an event comes. But my thing is this, if you're going to do that, I want to see that same proactiveness during the Florida-Georgia game. And I'm telling you, this hysteria.
Okay, but let me mention one thing.
We're talking
about the media and about how the media.
That's my point.
That most of the media, TV and whatever print media, they're all fakes, phony liberals and stuff like this. But let me say one thing. When they have this stuff going on, you heard of the yellow press and jingoism from the 1800s?
Right.
But he used to print these outrageous headlines in the Journal American and stuff like
right.
that. That's what newspapers do to circulation. And you don't have to worry about the students in Jacksonville reading about this, because I read in today's St. Augustine Record that the Jacksonville school children, 48% of them know how to read properly. So while they're worrying about naming the schools, changing the name of schools, they don't know how to read. So you know what? Somebody once said stupidity is a bliss.
Yeah, but Marty, I'm not going to avoid that school name stuff today. We don't have time.
I mean,
but you can do both.
It may have happened with the Orange Crush. Who was one that we're going to be going to hear about this? Who's going to watch on TV? The kids don't watch TV. Who's going to read about it in the newspaper? The kids don't even know how to read.
Well, I know one thing. But my problem was it's not the kids that could or could not read. It's those business owners at Jacksonville Beach who shut down because of the hysteria. Like I said, AJ will pick up that view piece next week. But my thing is this. And you can jump in, Doug, if you want to. Like I said, some lines you just don't want to walk towards. You know, when you openly say, you know, that it's okay, you know, I don't mind police being proactive. I don't have a problem with that. But putting out a message that a hurricane is coming, you shut down dozens of businesses and you're not going to serve certain people, that don't sit well with me.
Well, since I'm not a businessman in Jacksonville Beach, I really can't comment on that. You know, the expression, walk a mile in somebody's shoes or whatever, and I can't even fit into those shoes. But the thing about it is that these business people have probably been there for years, and they know from past experience, like, which way the wind blows, the business wind blows. So I really haven't done a forensic investigation to comment.
Well, I just don't think the sentiment will be, this is what's going to happen. And, Mark, I got to move to Tom, but thank you for calling. The thing is, Dr. King once said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. You know, I could just sit back here and take it. But this is the thing. Public enemy number one in this country is in the media is no longer African Americans. The public enemy number one in mainstream media is Trump supporters. So we can laugh at it today because it's black people, but it could be you tomorrow. And like I said, I could just sit back and I mean, this is not. Am I making this up? Doug, is it not? Having the narrative switch that if you voted for Trump, they're saying you're racist.
Right.
And I don't believe that, but that's what they're doing. And what I'm saying is what they did to African Americans 20, 30, 40 years ago, that those little whistles, they're now doing it to Trump supporters, to Republicans. Like Visa, can't make this stuff up. Visa was threatening to cut off the ability to donate to political candidates who are Republicans. So, like I said, so we want to normalize that we can, you know, disenfranchise, not serve certain people. because the media puts out these, they're dangerous. Like I said, the reason Trump is off of Facebook today is because they said he's number one threat. He's a threat. So you silence a person because they're scary to you. So you can't, if you can't say that it's wrong when it's done to Trump, but you excuse it when it's done to other people. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Tom, you can jump in.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Tom?
Enjoy the show. I normally agree with everything you say, Brandon. On this Orange Crush thing, I think I just want to challenge you to think about one thing, like when you're trying to compare it versus Florida-Georgia. With Florida-Georgia, that's an event we have every year, and it's predictable. We know exactly how many people are coming. We know where they're going to go. We know the schedule of events. This Orange Crush thing was a disaster in terms of organization. And this may be my event planning background coming forward a little bit, but there were no permits pulled. There was no communications with the city. There were vague advertisements about gatherings, and then they were promoting these huge crowds. I mean, I can't imagine what would have happened had the city not done anything
but Tom,
and not taken these measures.
But Tom,
and then the weather turned out to be great. Can you imagine the crowds?
But Tom, that's not what I had a dispute with. If you heard the opening piece, when we you may have not got the opening piece.
No, I heard it.
I did not have any issues with the city being on guard. I didn't have an issue with that. They could have put the whole United States Army on the beaches. You would not have gotten a complaint from me. My beef was the media coverage. The media coverage was not, you know, that. And I said it. I said at the top of the call that the organizer could have done a better job as far as coordinating. I get that, but that wasn't the piece in the media that scared off all the business. You had dozens of business owners that shut down their business not because of poor planning. They demonized they show Doug, you see my point.
Mm-hmm. They were afraid.
Yeah, they said be afraid, be very afraid. It was almost
if I were a business owner, I would have been afraid too. That with no permits pulled and no idea of what's going to happen, how can you just carry on, you know, with everyday business not knowing, hey, is there going to be 20,000 people outside my door? If so, I'm not prepared for that.
So but your job at, you know what? Like I said, one thing I've learned, my grandma always told me, keep on living. So we're gonna just see how this plays out, because you know the media picks and chooses who's the enemy this week. So we're gonna see how this plays out in a theater near all of us soon.
Yeah. Well, I hope I would love to see them come back next year. But do it
I
right
wouldn't come time. Back here.
I know, but this if they the do it year. Right this time, I think that would be a great addition.
Before it even got that far, the first thing that came from First Coast News was controversial Orange Fest before permits were even pulled. So I watched this thing get played out, and I'm not blaming the news people. Well, I'm not blaming the business owners for reacting, but I know they were played because of fake news. But like I said, we'll see what happens when the shoe's on the other foot.
All right. Have a good weekend, guys.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Well, next week we'll get on this filibuster nonsense. You know, this hold the line for the filibuster. We're going to maintain sanity on this show. Go ahead, Doug.
Aren't we having John Rutherford. John
Rutherford
will be on next
week. Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah.
Good. That'll be great.
God bless America. Always good. Yep.
Stay safe, guys.
All right, thank you.